Trish, you're drunk.
It's my party. I'm going to drink if I want to.
No.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on digital stream radio, where you can listen live every Monday at 6:30-ish p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and on today's show, we're going to be welcoming rapper and songwriter Caswell. He's one half of the new hilarious podcast, It's a Mess, which he co-hosts with trans superstar and former RuPaul's Drag Race contestant, Miss Peppermint. This is going to be an exciting conversation. Again, as I mentioned, my name is Tom, and I'm always here with my amazing bitches, which, by the way, one of them, it's her birthday. So starting with the first one, the birthday girl.
Hi, y'all. It's Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to The Dish. All right. So
proud of you, Trish.
First
you
things first. Happy motherfucking birthday, bitch.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And it is actually your birthday. Your birthday fell on an episode night, and it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a day.
Yes, it has been.
Uh-huh.
Rosé all day.
Literally. Sorry, everybody, in advance.
It's not just rosé. She's lying, because it was tequila.
Whoops.
It was
tequila.
More tequila, and then we tequila. Had... margaritas, and then we had rosé, yep. And then we had more rosé.
I tried to take a nap.
And more tequila.
And she got here drunk.
It was not my fault.
Okay, so it's okay to not be your fault, but when I say I accidentally got drunk, it's, you know, you pick on me.
Your accidents are sort of kind of very, like...
Often?
Yeah.
You know, like...
Anyway, boys, welcome back. It's going to be an exciting show. I have a
That's
good
one way to
today.
Put it.
I don't know what's going to come out of her mouth. So yeah,
just short like, show, you know, shit show.
Honestly, just like cut my mic now.
We never turned it on.
Oh, that makes sense.
Don't scare me. I'm like, she's recording. I'm looking back. I'm like, yeah, she is recording.
Hello.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm excited. We're going to have Caswell. He's a rapper. He's, you know, very well-known rapper in our community. He's also an out individual, which is amazing. And that's why he's actually joining us on the show. And also to talk about the new podcast. It's a mess, like her.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's my birthday. I'm going to be a mess. Let me be a fucking mess.
Remember? I think that you should ask him for you to be a guest on the show. Like, I feel like you could fill a whole episode.
Probably. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Remember her birthday last year? We were supposed to roast her, but we just said nice things about
it. I know.
It. But then the following week, we were like, nah, fuck that.
You tore me apart. It was terrible. Yeah, I remember.
Hartman came in with his number two keyboard and everything. And
it was amazing.
Those were some funny lines.
Yes, it was.
Oh, wait. Is it time for break?
No, not yet.
So close.
All right. So anyway, close. So I think that we should jump into some stories, because there's three stories here that are amazing all on its own, and we don't want to take
Don't we have a cocktail today? And, I'm not drinking it.
And weekends? Like,
you want to talk about
like
weekends?
What happened?
Well, our cocktail today is a Tom cocktail.
Yes, it is. So should I describe it?
Go for it.
Okay, so my neighbor ended up giving me some blackberries, and I love blackberries. So what I ended up doing is throw them all in a mason jar and drop some vodka on it and let them soak in the vodka, and then we came and muddled them down and then strained them and took the juice with the vodka and made cocktails. So we poured that juice with some, Chris hand-muddled mint leaves.
Well, I
hand-picked. I'm not allowed to.
I hand-picked
and
the mint leaves and then muddled, yes.
And so we threw that in there as well, and then we added some more vodka and then some soda water, and it's okay.
Yeah, I like it. It's refreshing
and
crisp.
Is.
Trish don't know, but.
Yeah, she's not allowed to drink.
Have a sip. Let me have a sip.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
As I said, she's not allowed to drink.
Oh my God, it's gone.
Okay. It's my birthday.
So yeah, that's our cocktail for today. I don't know what to call it. Maybe we'll call it a Blackberry Bliss.
Okay.
I don't know. That works. A Blackberry Bliss. Try it. It's good.
Yes.
And all right, so why don't we start with you? We'll leave the birthday girl for last.
I need
How
some
was
time.
Your weekend?
Did I do anything this
How
weekend?
Was your week?
Wait a minute. Meanwhile,
in Canada, we all know.
Canada, don't you know? It was such a good time. I hung out with my friend and we really explored the city. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. They had a bunch of different festivals going on. They had most of the main streets blocked off to traffic, so you can just really walk everywhere. It was fantastic.
Tell me about poutine. Didn't you have it
poutine?
Twice?
Oh my God. I had a disgusting amount of poutine.
Poutine.
Okay. on Thursday, because I stayed up in Colchester outside of Burlington and Vermont on Wednesday night to cut the drive in half because my neck was killing me. So Thursday, I had poutine. Then I continued to drink. And after I got like re-drunk, I ordered poutine.
Poutine.
By Uber Eats. Some guy brought it to me on bicycle. Then I had poutine on Friday.
A bicycle?
Yeah, it was my Uber driver was a bike.
So literally the entire time you were there, all I saw was you with this guy. So let's talk about that.
That's my friend. I went to visit.
Uh-huh. Mm.
That's my friend CJ.
Oh, hi, CJ. Is
Hello,
he listening?
CJ. I don't know.
All right. Well, he might sure.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's my friend. Yeah. So I hung out there and Pride started on Friday. Had no idea, but I was there for the beginning of Pride, which is really cool. Also, I saw a porcupine in the wild for the first time in my life.
I've never seen one ever.
Yeah.
Except on TV.
I mean, it was dead, but still, I saw one. It was on the side of the road, but
I was like, would somebody run it over like a possum?
I mean, yeah.
So, no, you didn't see one.
Well, it was there. Also, and I didn't know where I was going. I crossed the border to come back into the United States. It took fucking forever to get back into this country. Mm-hmm. I get into Canada.
Thanks, Donald.
Like, instantly. Instantly. I pulled. I know, right? Exactly. I messaged you guys. I was like, is Trump still president? I was waiting for you to say yes. And I was going to like send a snap of me like reversing, be like, I'm going back. But you guys didn't bite. You didn't bite.
Well, we were probably busy.
Also,
what time was
it? Don't think I saw that text.
Yeah, it was in there.
It was in the group. Oh, so bitch saw that shit. All right. Anywho. So I came in a different direction than I entered Canada. And it actually brought me through upstate New York. Amazing, beautiful drive. I was going with the top down.
87?
87, yeah. I took 89 there, and it took me 87 because I stayed in Rutland, Vermont last night.
Because there's nothing on 87.
Yeah, no, it's middle of nowhere. It's beautiful.
Did you cross the...
Over the Lake Champlain.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Yeah, from Plattsburgh, you can go right into Burlington.
It was... Burlington.
What are you two talking
Burlington
about?
Was way further up north from where I was going. But yeah, I went over Lake Champlain, drove over this like beautiful bridge, had no idea. It was gorgeous. And I ended up right near where my family used to vacation as a little kid on Lake Bomasine. I was like about 20 minutes out of there. So it was like a little nostalgic too.
Nice. Well, I had when I worked for the previous company that I worked for, which was Beauty Systems Group, I had a store in Plattsburgh and another one in Burlington. Mm-hmm. So I would often cross that lake to go from one store to the other, and especially when we were doing inventories. It was the worst.
But that looks beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It is. It is. The whole drive is gorgeous.
That whole from I think it's, what do they call that? Lake George, all that area, like upstate New York.
And there's Lake Placid.
Yeah. Oh, there.
And everything there. Yeah.
Amazing.
It was really cool.
So, nice. So I'm glad you were able to go to Canada again. And
I actually checked out the universities. I stayed at McGill University where McGill 1 or Residence 1 where the students stay. And what they do is and I was going to do it when I went to Ottawa, but if I had gone to Ottawa, but I had to cancel that portion of the trip, what they do is they rent out the apartments that students live in during the summertime, which is a fantastic idea. It's such a smart idea. So stayed there. I checked out McGill University and I really walked around and checked out Concordia University. Then we hiked Mount Royal. It was a really cool trip. Really cool.
That is awesome.
And I had dim sum, but I was way too hungover for chicken feet. It made me.
I had to leave.
Yeah. No, but yeah, enough about that.
Chicken feet for me. No. All right. So why don't we toss it over to the birthday girl? It's your birthday.
I can't.
How was
I can't
all
talk
of
right
your
now.
Like craziness?
Start
from Friday.
Friday.
It's so long ago.
What did I do? Oh, I went out. I went out. Yeah, that's about it.
And Saturday?
No. All right, hold on. Let me pull it together. All right. So Friday I went out.
Uh-huh.
Saturday I didn't do anything. Sunday I worked, sort of. And then today is today. So here we are.
This is it.
I dove into my birthday this weekend. Let's just say that much.
Well, I mean, it's not bad. And then you worked Sunday.
Yep.
And what happened at midnight?
Oh, you got me a cake. Thank you.
I did. Well, we all did.
You're so sweet.
Yeah, I know. So she was like, so we were trying to hide, right? So I went shopping and picked up a cake and stuff for her birthday so that we could sing happy birthday at midnight at the bar because we were doing karaoke. And so I left the cake in my car so that she wouldn't see it. And
it was an ice cream cake, so she had to drink it at the end.
Also, like, come on. Anyway, go on.
So we ended up like going to the back and we're all walking to the back and she literally walks right behind us. Y'all better not have a cake for us. And I was standing right in front of her and behind me was the guy with the cake sticking the candles on. He didn't even see it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I didn't see it.
She must have been doing shots last night because she said she dove into her birthday.
Honey, she didn't even
she
need
dove
shot.
In headfirst in the shallow end. Like she is.
No, I literally, so like, I broken. Know that this is inappropriate and I shouldn't say it out loud, but.
You're gonna?
Yeah. No, obviously. So
why wouldn't she?
Yeah. Last night I partied like
it was
my birthday. And then I showed up here and I was like, Tom, I think I'm still drunk. He's like, well, let's keep going. And then he took me to lunch. And
I did.
Literally, they came over with the bill. And I was like, I'm not paying.
And of course I paid. I wasn't going to let her pay on her birthday. It's her birthday after all. Why would I do that to her?
But then, of course, we know that the waitress there knows us. Mm-hmm. And then she kept bringing shit.
Shots. Shot.
I would like to point out
that. So I tried to take a nap and try to pull it together for the show, but here I am.
And I showed up and I.
And then he was extra energetic. After 4.5 hours of driving, I don't know. Sitting in that car, he was like, I couldn't wait to just stretch my arms, jump, do jumping jacks, do backflips, do everything, open my mouth, spitty spatter all over the place. He was wild.
And I was like, I ran to the door because I was like, oh, they went out for lunch. They definitely must have got me something to eat.
Nope.
No.
No.
It's like, what? Is that your birthday?
I know, but I just drove 4.5 hours. Don't high five her.
I said the same thing. I'm sorry, Chris.
You went to Canada.
Yes.
And he had potato chips and dip in his car.
Yeah, but the salsa was hot. No one wants hot salsa. Salsa comes out of the fridge.
All right. Well,
not when you leave it in the car.
I hate you so much.
All right. So, all right. We should get somewhat functional. Remember, guys, that we do have a guest coming on today. We've got 15 minutes to get through this. So why don't we jump into one of the first stories? I'm going to kick it off, of course. My weekend was his weekend, pretty much. I want to congratulate.
It's a good story.
Yes, it is. I would like to congratulate the city, the state of Illinois, and Governor J.B. Pritzker. Who on Friday signed into law a bill that ensures that the contributions of the LGBTQ peoples are taught in public schools. Many times on the show, we have discussed over and over again the importance of being able to see our history represented in school and how much that would help someone who's growing up, who's unsure of who they are, being able to see something that they can identify with and hopefully help them on their journey to becoming a full-fledged, absolutely gorgeous human being without having to be fearful of feeling that they don't belong. Mm-hmm. Period. So congratulations to the state of Illinois. Thank you, Governor of that state, for doing that, because that is absolutely freaking amazing.
Absolutely. Agreed.
And that's it. That's all I got to say about the story. It's just amazing. So,
well, we had talked about
really? That's it?
But we had talked about when we had the authors who were writing these children's books about the LGBT community, saying that we were looking forward to the day where these books were going to be in public schools' libraries, and now they're happening.
And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely amazing.
And soon the history books are really going to be, well, actually, the history books that I had in college, they talked about the gay rights movement.
Like a page, please.
No. The history books I had in college, I don't remember so much from high school or earlier than that, but my college history books, they talk about the gay rights movement, the gay liberation movement. So now, but that's in college.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic that it's going to be at the much younger age. And it's mandatory to be part of the curriculum now.
I mean, to me, in my day and in my school, when I was in school, when I learned about homosexuality, I learned of it in the context of being sexual, right? It's when someone of the same sex is attracted to someone of
under
the same
sex. Under the bleachers,
sex.
Basically.
And so for me, there was no real representation of how much more there is to that umbrella, how much more there is to the fact that we are human, that we feel, that we're capable of feeling emotion and loving someone far beyond the scope of just sexual contact and being sexual with someone. And so really wasn't representative of the type of curriculum that I would like to see.
But there's more than just the Stonewall movement. Like, I mean, gay rights go back years and years and years and years. Like,
that's right.
All of that needs to be taught. We need to talk about the kings of England that were gay. We need to talk about all of these people that were gay. And we need to talk about where they came from so that these kids know they're not alone. And it's not new. It's normal.
Yeah, of course. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And I hope that more cities and more states jump on board. I know that California has already done it. It was one of the first states that we had covered and talked about passing legislation to introduce same-sex or LGBTQ history in schools. So this is just amazing. And I think that's it. That's all I have. So Christopher, you have another story. Yes. Why don't you jump into that?
Yeah, because we had talked about Poland, I believe it was last month, about a pride event that took place in Bialystok in Poland last month, and it was met with protests afterwards, and Jarosław Kaczyński, the head of the Law and Justice Party, who is in power in Poland, has treated pride events with open hostility. He's very outspoken. He and his party are very outspoken against the LGBT community, but this past weekend, things were looking good for the Poles. They've been showing their pride and their prominence, and they've been standing upright and showing that they're not going to be put down in the still majority conservative nation. And what happened was a pride event took place in the town of Plock. What was significant about this pride event was there were members of European Parliament and world or political leaders that actually took place in this. Robert Biedron, a member of the European Parliament and leader of the Wiojna political alliance, marched in the pride parade in the city of Plock, and he was saying that, you know, we have to be here for freedom. There were three other leaders of the political alliance that arrived for the event. So it was just, it's after this, the backlash that came from the event in Bialystok, and now another one's taking place just a month later, but these high officials are participating in it. It's incredibly important, and it's really going to be bringing visibility and light to the country's queer population. So I think that was awesome that the people of Pluck and the people of Poland were able to experience support and perseverance from their political leaders.
It's very good to see, you know, all these movements happening, because no matter what happens in our White House, right, and what rhetoric comes out of it, we're still seeing a lot of wins for our community.
Mm-hmm.
Little ones, but they're happening, and it's encouraging because we know that at some point, this that we're going through in this nation, in this country, will have to come to an inevitable end. You know, there's just no question about that. So I am resolved in the fact that we're living in this craziness, but this is not going to last forever.
Right, exactly. And when you look at it, and this is rampant in Eastern European nations. Mm-hmm. We've had people from Eastern Europe come on and join us on the show, and we've talked about the reports of Azerbaijan and Egypt and Chechnya, and it's especially with the rhetoric coming out of the highest office in the world, out of the White House, it's going to fuel these bigoted nationalist right-wing extremists who are running these nations. So mm-hmm. this is like a beacon of hope for some of those who are so oppressed in the LGBT community in a nation so right-wing and conservative as Poland is right now.
Yeah. So, well, we wish them the best, and we hope that, you know, in light of all of everything that they've gone through so far, that we find a light at the end of the tunnel, and that everything, you know, works out the way it should. So before we continue on to the third story, which is yours, I know that you love this.
I literally can't right now.
I would like to very quickly just send you guys a little message from one of our sponsors. And as soon as I find it here we go. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Tolv, the new true wireless headphones from Studio, the company bringing you awesome headgear with amazing sound quality in a variety of styles to meet your listening needs. Get your hands on the new Tolv today. Use discount code GAYTALK15 and get 15% off your entire order. And remember, it's free shipping worldwide. Visit Studio.com today to get yours. Now, back to the show. That's right. Don't forget, they're right here, the little box here in front of us for those who are on our Patreon video feed. So, Trish, what's going on?
I want to take the day off.
Well, you could have done that like a half hour ago.
I tried.
Too late now.
Why?
Because well,
we're here.
All right, anyway, so we have gay animals.
That's right, of course.
All right, so we've got Skipper and Ping. Hello.
Hello.
All right, so...
Are these new penguins?
They are new penguins.
Okay.
Well, we had... They had been mentioned before, but it's more...
Relevant, right now.
Yeah.
All right. So have they? I don't think these two have been mentioned.
I thought we talked about the two gay penguins at a Berlin zoo.
No, we talked about zoo. Gus.
But this is in Berlin.
I don't know. It was a Gus and somebody.
Yeah, no, different couple.
Oh.
Okay. This is a new couple.
Oh, a new couple.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. My memory's
Skipper and
short.
Ping are brand new couples, everybody, okay?
Okay.
Yay. Actually, not. They've been together for a while. But yes. That being said, they have been, as normal, trying to, like, have a baby. So they've been, like, stealing not eggs, but, like,
they were trying to hatch stones, yeah.
Stones and all of that stuff. And then finally, a mother actually abandoned her egg, and now these two have the chance to have their own kid.
They went and snatched it right up.
They didn't even snatch it. They stepped in and they were like, we're going to raise this egg.
Now,
we're going to be...
Now, the question here, though, like, why would she just walk away from the egg?
I don't know. Maybe she wanted to help them out and say, here, in your endeavor to have someone that you could love and hold and cherish forever, I will walk away and let you guys do whatever
you
need.
She was like a surrogate. She could have been. We don't know.
Maybe Ping was like, hey, I'm a, you know, and she was like, hey, it's yours.
I mean, yeah, I'll have to look more into it. Like, I've been working on it, but my penguin, it's garbage. Like, it's my language. I'm working on it. So, yeah, we've all been trying hard for these guys. So, yeah, continue.
So some penguins are gay. Get over it.
All right. Well, listen. So we've got 5 to 7. We do have a guest coming in. And so what we're going to do on that note is go ahead and take a break because we need to refresh our cocktails. And when we come back, we have Caswell from It's a Mess.
Not Trish.
Just like her.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back. Here's some music.
Hard to see you with a man you call your friend, but in the end I know I don't have much time to tell you why I wanna die, but then I cry, so then I lie, so I don't make you bend time. 'Cause if you
you
right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. We're back from our break. We've refilled our cocktails. That was the incredible Pat Riley with his latest song, Time. Good friend of ours. He's been on the show before. And we enjoy all his musical creations. And I hope that he keeps doing it because he's amazing. Anyway, joining us now, all the way from the West Coast, I believe, is, of course, rapper and songwriter Caswell. He is one half of the new podcast, It's a Mess, which he hosts with Miss Peppermint, a trans icon in our community, I must say, and also a contestant or a previous contestant in RuPaul's Drag Race. Caswell, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So how are you, my friend?
I'm pretty good. I'm just trying to take care of business today, trying to be responsible, taking care of my list of things to do.
Unlike me.
I know. It's like, and Trisha's doing the opposite.
It's my birthday.
It's his birthday my life. Today, so he's a hot mess today. Sorry.
That's okay.
So my friend, you launched this amazing new podcast, It's a Mess, yep. Like our yep. co-host here. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about it, and why did you launch it?
A couple things. 2019 is really the year for me that I throw everything to the wall and see what sticks, and I've been wanting to do a podcast for a while, and so I knew I wanted to do podcasts, and I think that that audio content is really the way to go. I think that you can listen to it when you're on the go. You don't have to sit and watch people necessarily. So I just think it's the future. So I'm really inspired by podcasts. I listen to some podcasts that are always giving me ideas. I wanted to keep it simple at first and just keep it an advice podcast. And the reason I really wanted to do it with Peppermint is because she's my best friend. And ever since she became associated with RuPaul's Drag Race, she doesn't have any time. And she can like schedule. She lives in an airport and we have to schedule like 10 minutes to talk on the phone and in between flights or when she after a nap and things like that. You know how the Drag Race girls get. So I thought that then she's obligated to talk to me every week at a certain time, you know. So I just really love to work with my friends. That's my favorite thing about being in the music industry is like making songs with my friends and touring with my friends and working with people I admire. So this was just another opportunity to do that.
And I can absolutely agree because when we started this podcast, we've been doing this now just a little shy of 3 years. Doing it with my friends.
Congrats.
Thank you. Because
that damn long.
This is why we sit at this table and we sort of kind of talk about everything that we do. We talk about things that impact our community. You are an out rapper. So I definitely want to touch base on that and talk a little bit about that on how you manage and navigate that in the field of music that you're in. But it's a totally different way of being able to communicate your message to people in ways that is just, you know, you can't do it through a medium like TV because, like you said, audio is accessible at any time. Mm-hmm. You're sitting at your desk at work, you're driving, you're in the subway, you know, you
at
can
the gym,
access
running,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's amazing.
So right. We've all listened to the podcast and we love it. It's amazing.
I do. It's awesome. Your chemistry with Peppermint is incredible.
Hilarious. So tell me a little bit about how you pick the people that email you. Like, these questions are ridiculous. Sometimes.
Well, some of the, I would say that not 50, maybe 60% of the questions are really boring and they don't give a lot of detail.
Okay.
A lot of them are like, oh, I just moved to a new city. How do I meet a guy? Or how do I meet friends? Or how do I, and so I like things that are more detailed and an actual real problem that sounds relatable. You know, luckily we get some funny ones. A lot of them are serious. So I really have to pick like a couple funny ones or, you know, more trashier questions just to mix them in. A lot of them, like we got a couple questions. Some person wrote in recently. We did a show about adoption and, you know, other things
right.
about like, you know, I'm sober and how do I stay sober when I go to Pride? Which I thought was an important thing, but usually something that speaks to me, I get. But you know, then we get some really great questions about you know, at the work situation
You're
where
right.
people,
yep.
someone's breath smells really bad, or their vagina, and they don't know how to tell them. And anonymous, you know, things like that. So I kind of, you know, the things that I can relate to, like a problem that I've had, I always want to choose because I feel like I'll give good advice on that, or also just like something so trashy. I know that this is a question that makes me laugh, but may be good entertainment. But you have to have a balance because we do take it seriously as far as like helping people.
I'm sorry. Did you say something about a smelly vagina? Like, yes, did someone email and be like, "How do I tell my boss, yo, your snatch stinks?" So how would you tell
this guy? This guy called in his best friend who we met at work, and he was a gay guy, and he was saying that her vagina smells like fish, and I go in her car, it smells like fish, and she's really sensitive. I don't know how to tell her, and other people at work talk about it, and I didn't want to like. Can I swear on this show? Okay, well, I didn't want to pussy shame anybody or anything like that, and I just felt like this, you know, this is something. But it's not only a topic just about like how to wash your pussy, but it's also about, you know, how to let people down easy and let people know bring something up to people that they're really, really sensitive about. So in some ways it's a little bit of a serious topic. In other ways, it's really funny.
I just want to know how the hell he knew her pussy smells.
Well, everybody could smell it.
But what if it was her armpits or some other part? How
your
does
armpits
he know
smell
that it
like
was
Burger King, not fish?
Specifically her vagina. Like, what was
well,
he
I
doing
didn't
there?
Ask. He didn't get that detailed, but I assume it was what he says he works next to her at work. So I think that is like, if, I don't know.
Did he drop a pencil under her desk or something? And like he had a bed down to pick it up?
Or she walks over to his desk when he's sitting down and then her
exactly,
in
and it was like snatched.
Sometimes you can really tell where the smell is protruding from.
Well, if you listen to that episode, literally, it's not just him. It's like people in the office. They can smell.
Well, BO is a serious problem. I mean,
well,
it's not BO,
it's VO, I guess.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
BOPO. All right, my boys.
Anyway, so we recently had a listener email us, and it was a kind of a tough topic.
Yes, it was.
We had a young guy email us about going to high school and kind of being afraid of how people will react to him being gay. And I kind of want to know, like, what type of research do you do when you get these questions come in? Like, what do you talk about with Peppermint before you go on the show?
I really don't do... I do some research, I guess. I think I decide to pull from the knowledge I have before I start Googling too much. Because I don't want to just like read off a pamphlet of information. I want to be real about things. Someone had just called in because she has a son that's 4 years old and he's about to start pre-K. We just recorded this episode last week in LA, and she says she doesn't think her son is necessarily trans, but he's really attracted to wearing pink and putting rhinestones on his clothes and likes girly things. And I had said that there's a really great podcast. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's called How to Be a Girl. And it's like, it's all segments are like really short. They're like 7 to 10 minutes long. And it's just this woman's story about her daughter that came out to her. Like, you know, her daughter was born with a penis, but she calls her daughter now, even though I think her daughter might be 7 now. And just talking about the experience of what she had. And like, it was really kind of heartbreaking. Like, her daughter came to her and says, "Mommy, like, I don't think I'm fully made. Can you push me back up in you?" Like, things like this. And so it took like a year, but her and her husband decided to just accept the fact that their son is now a girl and start going through the proper measures and introducing her into like how to be trans. And you know, I haven't listened to the entire podcast, but I feel like there are brilliant podcasts out there that people that are questioning whether or not their child is gay or trans could listen to, like, okay, I can relate to that, that's happening to me too, you know. So it would help them really put their situation in with clarity.
So
one of the things I love about your show, I listened to like 4 episodes today. And one of the things that I love is when you're posting your questions, right, through the actual recording or through the show episode, you have some people reading the questions. So is that something that from a production level you guys sort of kind of pre-do? You select your questions and then you have voice actors come in and read these questions?
Yeah, we're debating whether or not to continue doing that. I appreciate that you like that. I feel like I've had some people like questions like, wait, so are they in the studio, or wait, are these real questions? So what happens is we get the questions and we just wanted to create another layer to the show,
yeah.
And pretty much inspired by It's American Life, how they have other people read the stories. We have actors read the questions, and these are Broadway actors that Peppermint is connected with to actually read the questions. So it's not just us. And we're kind of going back and forth. Well, maybe we should read the questions because we're always like laughing in between it, and maybe it'll just appear more real. But at the same time, I like the idea of an actor reading the question because it just makes it seem more lifelike and possibly more relatable since they're really good actors. Typically they're actors. Not always. We've had Bob do a question. We had like Willem do a question.
And well, a couple other people do that. I can tell you from a producer, I think that is so, so professional. It brings a level of professionalism to the podcast because it shows that you're taking the time to actually care about the questions that are coming in enough to have and hire people to come in and actually read them out for the show. But I thought it was a very interesting and amazing element to the show. I love how you and Peppermint bounce back and forth, going through each of one of these questions after they've been aired. You guys really sit down and hash out, and you guys balance each other out, which is fantastic.
Yeah, she's way nicer than me. that's one thing I've learned a lot about Peppermint is her approach to everything is how to solve the problem. Like, she's never about blame. She's rarely about revenge. You know, and I'm the total opposite when it comes to that. So I don't know if that's good for the listener that actually needs the advice, because they're like, wait, what should I do? Because I do what he says and what she says. I mean, a lot of times we meet with common ground. But Peppermint is really about dissolving the conflict and getting right to the core issue and be like, okay, how do we solve the problem, as opposed to, you know, who's right and who's wrong and a back and forth about this. Me, on the other hand, I don't know if you heard the episode, this guy called in and his boss fired him for no reason. Basically, he was his boss hired him to sell cars in a car lot, and he makes a lot of money and he's the best salesperson, and his boss doesn't do as well. So his boss fired him, and he's pretty sure that his boss fired him so that his boss could make the money, because the boss didn't really give much of a reason. And then he found out that, and everyone in the office knew that his boss was having an affair on his wife, and he secretly filmed him and having an affair with his wife in his office, because I guess they have glass partitions in between the offices. It's one of those type of places. And he was like, should I send this to his wife, his fiance, and they're getting married, and should I send this? And Peppermint was like, you shouldn't do this. You know, I had a really bad experience with a makeup company, and now we're working well together. And if I'd fucked that up, then I wouldn't have this experience now. And I'm like, look,
Put it
on ice for like a month, and then the night before, like on honeymoon night, the night before the marriage, you send this not only to her, you send it to her.
I fucking love you. You're nasty, and I love you so much. I would do the same fucking thing.
Oh my god!
And I was saying, like, I've always been that way. It's just like the friends that I grew up with. One time, the day I turned 21, I went to this bar in Worcester, Massachusetts, where I grew up. But coincidentally, maybe it always happens like this. The day I turned 21, my license also expired, and my state ID expired, so they didn't let us in. I'm like, no, look, I'm 21. I just turned 21. It was my birthday. And we were so mad because it was my birthday, and there's like one hip bar in Worcester where we went to. So we mailed. So we knew the bouncer that checked the IDs, and we mailed him a box of shit.
Oh my god.
Kazma, I love you.
A box of dogs.
Not only am I hearing the Worcester, but your Worcester's coming out.
I was like, I'm totally from Worcester.
I come from a different state of mind, that was just one moment where we disagreed,
So we live in Connecticut, and I moved here 6 years ago from Mass, so I get it. I get it, 100%.
Okay. You guys literally sent him shit right out of your mass holes. That's amazing.
Yeah,
I love it.
Well, it was a dog's asshole.
Oh, it wasn't your shit? Oh.
I took my dog. I took my dog's shit, and we put it in a box, and we mailed it together. And we didn't hear anything, but it didn't get sent back either. I mean, we get a fake address, but we assume he got it.
You didn't send the return receipt requested?
No, but I do remember we sent a card that said, please eat shit.
I love it.
So, funny story, though, because on my 30th birthday, I'm aging myself. I'm 32 today. Anyway, my 30th birthday, I had to get a new license. And I got a fucking paper license because they mail you new license now in Connecticut.
Yep.
And I get to a bar and they wouldn't let me in Providence, Rhode Island.
They wouldn't let me in
because it was paper. I was like, oh, motherfucker, I am 30 fucking years old and you are letting me the fuck into this bar.
Did you get in?
They let me in. But long story short, didn't end up good. Anyway.
All right. So you are a rapper. You're also a songwriter. I know that the show is amazing. We'll get right back to it. But what I wanted to know is how hard is it being, first of all, white in a black man or black woman's world rapping? It's predominantly people of color that do it. And on top of that, being gay and being out. How do you navigate all of those things in your field of work?
It's a lot of shit.
Well, I've been doing this for about 20 years. So I'm not new to it. When I first started, I dropped my first mixtape. I was in a rap duo, like a fag dyke rap duo called More Play. And that's how I really started my career. And that's how I started applying myself to learn about the business. And at that time, there was no internet really. So everything, I don't know if you remember the days of like mailing out a press kit with your tape or CD and it's sending it to the club, calling them, did they get it? Would you book me for a show? Like there's all these lines of work. So it really changed my work ethic at the time. And it never, I'm going to tell you a really quick story that might encapsulate this, but I remember I dropped out of college and I wanted to just go take all the energy I was taking towards college. And I was going to UMass Boston and I wanted to just apply it to music. And I knew this is what I wanted to do. And my dad knew that like I was, you know, making beats with producers and like had my little shows and things like this. And I remember sitting in the car with him and just saying to him, like, this is what I want to do. I don't want to go to college anymore. I'm going to apply this. I'm going to make this work somehow. And he was like, and he just had this confused look on his face. And he was like, okay, let me make sure I'm understanding this. You're letting go of your education so that you can be a gay white rapper. And until he said that to me, I honestly never thought of it in those terms.
Right.
I never thought of it. So I never saw the obstacle in my head. And then I was like, well, yeah, I guess essentially I do. And he says, well, I guess that makes sense because you always have to do everything the hard way. You know, the person that knew me since I was born that just knows this. So I was like, okay, so I never had, people always say things like, oh, everyone told me I couldn't make it, but I was going to do it anyway. No one ever told me I couldn't make it. No one ever really gives a shit, to tell you the truth. So I just did what I wanted to do and, you know, what I knew I was good at. And I knew I was a great performer and I knew I had a good idea of beats and how to make things to make people dance. And I'll tell you something. One thing that I learned is that back in like 2014 when I dropped the Hard to Be Fresh album, my first single to push the album was called Dance Like You Got Good Credit. And it wasn't a particularly gay song. It wasn't a song that I had like go-go boys in or anything like that. And, but the beat was great and it always worked on the floor and everything about it worked. And we picked rather than like a gay press agency and marketing, we worked with this other agency to do it that, you know, works with, I guess, relatively like straight acts, you know, just like quote unquote, like normal acts, like not gay. It wasn't a particularly gay marketing firm. And I did not get one piece of press from them. Yeah. I did not get people tweeting. I got no buzz at all about it. They couldn't do it. And what I learned was there are benefits to being gay because there are less people in your lane. Everybody has some straight guy or girl in their family that raps. Everybody has somebody in their family that is like making beats, or their uncle that raps, or their kid cousin that raps. Like the line of traffic is so congested with the people in hip hop in the straight world that when you approach it from the gay perspective and tell your gay story, there's so less interaction there. So you're going to stand out more. So it's really only helped me. And so when I do songs that like All Over Your Face or Ice Cream Chuck or, you know, Loose Wrist that are relatable to gay people, it's going to get more views. And that's what I learned from that experience is that's really my world. No, like no matter how much part of me at the time wanted to try to be mainstream. This is my demographic, and these are my listeners, and it's more important to appeal to me, to appeal to people that want to hear my story, than try to convince the straight world that, hey, I'm over here too, because there's just too many straight people in rap, you know?
Well, so what would you say to, I mean, I'll never be a rapper, but like, say there was a young me that wanted to be a rapper and, or a musician and was gay and like,
what or even if say? It's not a young you, you know, even if it's you right now, you know, the world is not 18. And so anyone can pick up their dream anytime that they want. And it's only too late when you're dead. I'm 46 years old. I'm going to do this till I stop breathing, you know? So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your question.
No, you're fine.
That was good. Yeah.
But I think that, to anyone starting out, I would tell them right away, look, accept the fact that you're going to suck. Like the artist's nightmare and what makes every artist cringe is when they have to look at work they did 10 years ago. And the most important thing is that you just do it and you just put it out and you get it out there and you get people to pay attention to your song and put out a visual component for your work. You know, that's just the world that we're living in right now. And start a SoundCloud page and just do it and do it. And the more that you do it, the more you'll have on your list of achievements that you can go bring to another producer, because producers aren't really going to work with you if you haven't done things before. So, you know, find someone that hasn't done shit before, work with them, get a couple songs out, and then more people will work. And the more you do, the more you'll get attention, because people in the business notice hard work. And something like I can say for myself is I've always been consistent and more consistent now than ever. And I have had songs that I believed in and I thought was going to change the world and everyone was going to love me. And, you know, and then I don't get any hits from it. And then I don't get any shows from it. I just dropped the next, you know, like I dropped a song tonight. I had a really great sample in. I was really proud of the song, really proud of the video. I didn't get any burn from it at all. I'm like, hey, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to, you know, and I took all my money and put it into it. And then I put it into the next thing. I found a way to make it work to shoot a video for a song called Ice Cream Chuck in my house. The song wasn't even supposed to be a single. It was just supposed to be in a movie for 10 seconds. It wasn't even going to be in iTunes. No one was going to know it was me. And I was like, well, it's summertime. I have a song called Ice Cream Chuck. Let's do something really quick. I shot it in my house and I'm still getting fed from that song. Right. So you just never, ever, 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 ever stop. And if you're doing this because you want a VMA or you want to be on the cover of People magazine, that's a completely other fame game. You know, I can honestly say that I'm in this because I don't really have a choice. Right. You know, this is the only thing I'm really, really good at and passionate about is music. So if that's why you do it, then just do it.
So before we go back to It's a Mess, the podcast, I want to ask why it's so important to be an out rapper and or an out person. Like, why was that so important for you and how do you move forward and how do you tell people that it's important to be honest about who you are?
Well, people are always searching for honesty and people are always searching for something that they connect with. I was really lucky that I started at a time that I didn't know anybody, any other gay rapper. I mean, there's a bunch of gay rappers right now that are brilliant and I'm in touch with a lot of them. And I think that's great too. But I started at a time that I didn't know anybody else, but I also didn't think I had any other real options. I wasn't going to try to convince anybody I was straight. I mean, I am what I am. And if you have ever, you know, talked to somebody that has one job and they're in the closet and then they have this other secret life, they're the most stressed out people in the world. It's like living a double life, you know? Mm-hmm. And some things didn't really occur to me about the kind of impact you can make on people. But I'll tell you, I remember my first song and video that kind of went quote unquote viral was for All Over Your Face. And I got this sample from West End Records, who I was signed to them for an EP. And I put out this video and I put out this song and it was sexually explicit, but it just came naturally to me at the time because my manager was like, oh, the name of this song is called All Over Your Face. I'm like, oh, I can totally work with that. You know?
So I
remember, so I dropped the song in the video and I just started to get gigs for the first time. Like it was the first time you have to stand before this. It was 10 years of, you know, no one was paying for my flight to go to another city and put me up. My whole concept of a tour was paying for a flight myself to San Diego and then taking a train from San Diego to Seattle and playing for free and selling a CD that I would be able to convince people to buy based on how good my show was, which was why I come from the school of you have to be a good performer to make it. Though I wasn't doing makeup tutorials on YouTube. You know what I mean? So I had this show, and it was one of my first shows that I was getting paid for. And I went to Portland, Oregon, and I remember they lost my luggage, and I had to get on stage, and I just had like jeans and this T-shirt, and I'm doing All Over Your Face, and it was the first time. It was like all these gay bears and otters. They were all lip syncing the words, and I could tell that there was a sense of feeling cool because with a song about dick. So, and I felt like, wow, like I supplied the gay community with something that I hadn't seen people do before, which I didn't really see as important until I saw the reaction from it. And just from that, I really learned it's so important for gay men to feel the same sense of entitlement and even cocky attitude about what they want out of sex and not feel ashamed about it. And just like when a straight rapper, like every straight rapper, talks about eating pussy or fucking hoes, you know, they feel entitled about it, and they feel like they the man about it because they're a man, straight man in a straight man's world talking about it. But if you just apply that to yourself and have the same attitude, I think that gay men really deserve that. I mean, you can hear that a lot more now from other gay rappers and lesbian rappers, and you know, like whether it's like Cupcake talking about sex, or you know, Mickey Blanco or Leaf or Dipper, who are all amazing, you know. But I was the first person that I saw supply that. I'm not trying to take credit for anything, but I'm just trying to say that I really realized early in my career right there that's important. You know, it's important to be a voice for people that don't have it, you know. And I was also realizing, I was thinking about it the other day, that probably my most successful songs and videos have been the ones that were relatable to gay men, and they feed off that, and there's not enough. There's still not enough, you know?
But listen, if that's your accomplishment, own it. It's yours, right? Yeah. You got up on that stage, and you took the time to actually go into a studio and record a song about penises or dicks, and men relate to it because that's what they want all over my face.
Exactly.
I get it. Hey, listen, that's all okay. You. Revel in that accomplishment, because when you got up on that stage, every single one of those people that was in that crowd in Portland, Oregon, had a fantastic time. They were all singing back right at you saying, I got you. I hear this.
Right.
You know, and I think it's fabulous. I think that we should take ownership of our sexuality. We should be able to express ourselves like most other rappers do, explicitly about, you know, women. I mean,
but it's sometimes, super hard though. Like
it is,
especially in your industry. It's very hard to take ownership of being gay and still rapping and telling your story and talking about sex with another man as a man and still being successful. Like it's hard
until somebody does it.
It might only be hard if you're literally in the industry, and I mean like you're on Def Jam or you're on Island Records or you're on Sony, then because there's more control of your career involved. But on the other hand, you know, everyone can put up their SoundCloud page and their YouTube page and make their videos and make their coins without the help of record executives. So on one hand, it's hard if you want to have more financial backing, but at the same time, no, because you can start your own Patreon page and you can get your things done yourself. And that's exactly what is happening. There are, you know, it's what you have to do really before you even get any notice from a label is to really start your own scene in the first place, start your own sound and start your own visuals. And then they're like, oh, wow, he's really making something of himself. Let's latch on to him. I mean, the record industry really, really have the financial backing to start new careers anymore, because people obviously don't buy music like they do, and they're not making money off CDs or even streaming. So they're only working with artists who have already established themselves. And that's why it's happening. I mean, Lil Nas X, he is gay and he is out, and he's been on the chart like longer, for number one chart. He beat Mariah Carey.
That's right. I remember the length of time. So, was the longest running single of all time. And he literally surpassed that.
Right. So that's amazing. And when he came out, he was still number one.
Right.
So I hope his career keeps flourishing too. You know,
so you're that's super amazing. Beautiful and super talented. But let's go back to the podcast.
Okay.
So it's a mess.
So tell me what is your vision for this moving forward? Like, what do you want to come out of this podcast?
Great question.
Thank you.
Well, one of the reasons we decided to do just advice was because we could pretty much record it anytime. So when Peppermint has 2 weeks off, if we want to record 4 episodes, put it in the bag and then drop it, we can do it. I feel like it's going to be more powerful if we can do add to the podcast something similar to a Hot Topics. But the only thing about that is, based on our schedules, we need to be able to do this once a week. She's in New York and I'm in LA, so everything we do is on the phone, right? And we record it on our mics and then we glue it together. So that's something that's really important to me, is to add current events. So we're actually going to take a 2 week hiatus in about 3 weeks, and then we're going to try to work on how we're going to do that. What we're going to have to do is pre-record some of the advice, and then once a week, so that we don't need to put too much time into it, do the Hot Topics. I think that's really important, because I always want to talk about what's happening now, whether it's politically or just with, you know, shady gossip and shit like that, and also like keep up on RuPaul's Drag Race and talk about it. And I think that will bring more viewers in, because people want to hear people talk about what's happening right now. So that's a big part of what we're going to be adding to the show. Another part of the show that we're going to do is we're going to have a segment called Amazing Queens. And each week we dedicate a segment to somebody that has done something amazing for it, for the LGBTQ community, or bring up somebody in history that has done something amazing that the kids might not know about, so that we can talk about them and their legacy. So those are two. So the show will probably go from about 40 minutes to about 120 minutes. I don't have a problem with that. So that's kind of like the layout that we're going to aim for. The whole thing with starting with just advice was a way to, let's get warmed up, let's figure out how to do this. You know, it's probably going to have to be a lot more work and have to do a lot more self-editing in the lab. But, you know, we worked with Forever Dog Productions on this, and they've been extremely helpful.
Where are they based out of? Forever
Dog. Oh, they're based in New York and Los Angeles. We've recorded in both their studios.
Nice.
And we got connected with them through Willem, who does, you know, Race Chaser.
Okay. Awesome. So, you know, what I say is this: what we started doing when we started doing the show, it is completely different from where we ended up. You know, we realized that after, like, we started up with, like, it was 4 friends around the table with drinks, cocktails, being catty, being crazy, talking about people, and it completely transformed into something different when we started getting responses from our listeners.
But also, like, President Trump, so.
And, of course, you know, that
so, let me ask you guys some questions. So, what you guys have is, a weekly, right? Right, I mean, your studio looks really professional.
Thank
so
you.
I'm just like, are you guys in your house, or do you drop it every weekend podcast as well as other formats?
Well, this is the studio's in my home, and so what we do is every week we record on Monday 6:30. So we provide a live stream audio, we do a live stream video for our Patreon subscribers, and then we release it on iTunes, digital stream radio.
And Google you Play also Music. Built a studio in your basement.
And I did.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It started on this great setup. Dining room table.
It did.
Yeah.
Initially, it was just our dining room table, and we were like, all right, boys, what are we going to do? And, you know, it just keeps growing. It's like iPads, computers, this. I was like,
Tom, you need to buy a fucking house.
Yeah.
were you live streaming from the beginning, or were you just podcasting?
We started live streaming about 60 episodes in. So initially it was just podcasting, and then we started doing the live stream. And so now when people go to our website on Digital Stream Radio or on gaytalk20.com, they can actually go right to our live stream page. And when we go live, they can listen to the episode while we're recording it.
So when we started, when we started getting responses from our listeners, internationally, really. But we got people calling in saying, like, how they don't feel like they have a community where they live. Mm-hmm. They were like depressed and upset, and every week they listen to our show. And when we started getting these responses, we were like, all right, we gotta keep doing this, we gotta build a show. And then he's like, I'm gonna build a studio in the basement. and here we are.
And, you know,
well, you must have hit a huge learning curve. I mean, I'm just doing this from my home too, and just like learning about everything that I have to do with recording and sound. I mean, I'm used to going into a professional studio where I usually don't have to worry about it, and I work with an engineer. So taking care of these aspects by myself has definitely been like a huge educational experience for me.
I will tell you, YouTube was a huge invaluable resource for us. I mean, I never knew that I would be able to work a mixer. You know, and then putting microphones together and headsets and computers and programs and you know, and having several cameras all over the place to be able to do a live stream. It's been a challenge. My next one, what we're planning to do next, and I wish that we could have done it, is we're actually looking to utilize this beautiful TV behind us to actually stream our guests when they're streaming via YouTube or via Skype, so that those that are enjoying the show on Patreon can actually see an entire conversation come about visually as well. So, you know, it's all one step at a time.
Yeah. I'm actually on my list of things to do is Patreon. So I'm definitely looking into that this week, you know, and it is more for my music videos. So, cause I want to keep them coming, and they take a lot of money, and I'm not on RuPaul's Drag Race. So I'm not touring the world right now.
Wait, hold on. Time out. Do you do drag?
No. I was on Drag Race season one teaching the girls how to rap. You know, the season where they put the Vaseline on the lens, that one.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
I have to say, I do love the show and I do watch it. It's my little guilty pleasure. And I'm excited for the new season to start. I was really sad that, you know, when Peppermint lost to Sasha Velour, even though Sasha's very talented, I wanted Peppermint to win because he was my girl, you know, but...
Yeah.
I don't know why you
But Sasha Velour is a brilliant person to lose
she's,
to.
And, she's you know, amazing.
Peppermint went really far. Peppermint, yes, I was super proud of her.
Yes, she did.
You know?
She got a lot of slack throughout that whole season because, first of all, she wasn't not only doing drag, but she was also a trans woman. And I think she came out as trans during that whole experience. And so people have their feelings around that, right?
Right.
And so screw your feelings. She wanted to do what she wanted to do, and she was having a good time, and she was runner-up, and she had a blast.
And she did it the smart way,
as
far as I'm concerned, too. And it really, I'll just change subject a little bit. It really brought up a lot of questions about, oh, you're trans, but you're wearing boy shorts on this. And, you know, you're trans, but your nails aren't done on this. And you're trans, but you look like a boy. And it's kind of like, and she got a lot of shit from trans women about that. And it's kind of like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. And this is why, like, you cannot define someone's transness for them. You could be trans and have a beard, or you could, you know, being trans doesn't mean that you've made the full transformation into what everyone else thinks you should aesthetically look like being a trans man or woman. You're trans because you are trans because you believe that you are the opposite sex inside your body, and that, you know, so it's kind of like, that's why the sidebar to that is why I wrote the song Blend for her. And it's for us, it's on REP, but it's more like Peppermint's lyrics on the songs. Cause I really wanted to create some type of trans anthem about, you know, the song Blend is all about, you know, she says in the song, like, yeah, yes, it's a wig, and yes, my feet big, but I don't think I should change. It's like, you know, trans women in particular, I'm talking about, how are under so much pressure to try to look a certain way and to blend into society. And then you're looked down at as less of, not only by straight culture, but trans people sometimes, because, you know, you're not blending in, you know what I'm saying? And that seems to be like low key and subconsciously the goal with a lot of trans women, is that they need to feel that no one can tell that they're trans, but trans is beautiful. So even if people can spook you right away for, oh, she's trans, or oh, she's a tranny, oh, this, well, that's fine, you know. So that's something I also like learned from Amanda Lepore as well. I mean, she's gorgeous, and she's obviously had procedures, you know, and she doesn't try to hide that. So I just think that it's a really important topic to talk about sometimes with trans people, and Peppermint's ready to talk about it at any given time. So
that's amazing.
Your show has such an amazing platform. Literally, I'm just thinking, like,
it does.
Beyond advice, like, who you are and who Peppermint is, like, you have such an amazing platform to do so much amazing work.
And it's going
to
blow up.
For the LGBTQ plus community.
I feel like it's going to blow up. I feel that it already has.
I hope so. Thank you.
It's just amazing overall. And just to have two individuals who are completely different in perspective. And like you said, one of her biggest gifts is that she diffuses things. She chooses to do things in a way that's more diplomatic. And I feel that helped her out on the show. It's going to help her out in the podcast between the chemistry with both of you. And also it's going to help her out in life because she's going to do amazing things. You guys are going to do amazing things. And I think that your podcast is going to be a really good window into a world where some youngster is going to call and say, oh my God, I'm so thankful I found your podcast because I didn't realize that this existed or that existed as it's done for us. There's a lot of young people out there that don't realize that they're not alone in this world.
Right. I just also want to say, I think that the different perspectives that we can get, you know, that, you know, I am living in my gay white privilege, and a lot of gay white men that know me and pay attention to me and might listen to my podcast, they're able to now get the perspective of a black trans woman, which I think is so important because so many trans women of color obviously have, you know, there's, you know, the murder rate is way too high, and the issues that trans people of color and also gay people of color deal with, a lot of white gay people don't even realize. So it's really, and I mean, there's a lot of things I could talk to about that, but it's really important to make the community as a whole knowledgeable about the T and LGBT. You know what I mean?
Beyond that, though, I mean, like, beyond the T, you're right, but like, what you were talking about, we talk about on the show all the time, it's the color aspect. I'm also a white gay man with my white gay privilege, but Tom is Puerto Rican, and there are plenty of people that we have talked to on the show that have gone through so many things that I cannot even imagine. And being able to give that voice to a people is so important.
Yeah, and it's I know that it can change people's perspectives on things because it's changed my perspectives on things. Can I give you a quick example?
Please, go for it.
Well, like, so for instance, the gay flag that's right behind you. So I know why that was originated and the symbolism behind the colors and everything like that. And then a couple of prides ago, they started making some gay pride flags that in the corner had the half the triangle with the baby blue, the pink, and the black and the brown. And my opinion generally right away was like, look, like, it's never been about color. It's never been about race. Like, why is this necessary to change the flag and make it about something that it's not? And Peppermint said to me, goes, look, like, if you see a gay bar, and if you go to a gay bar and you see the traditional gay flag there, then you know that this is a safe place for your gay ass to be. And that's what they're telling you by hanging the flag. This is not the case for people of color. Let's say even black gay men, when they go to a gay bar, often sometimes they haven't been let in, or they go to a club and they're not the right look, or gay black drag queens or black trans women will show up and they don't feel the acceptance that they want to have. But because gay white men have not realized their privilege, and they're taking it for granted, and they're not seeing that the struggle is still real for gay people of color. But when you see the flag before you go into an establishment, and then you see that the baby blue, the pink, the black, and the brown, you're like, okay, these people get it. People have gone the extra mile. Then I know I'm going to feel safe here, and I know I'm going to be accepted here, even though I'm a black queen or a black trans woman. Do you know what I'm saying? So then she said it to me, I'm like, it totally opened my eyes to this perspective that I wouldn't have had if I didn't have this conversation with her. So just based on that alone, I know that if we talk about those types of things and she shows her perspective versus mine, it's going to open the eyes to white people, which it needs to.
Which is amazing. And here's the thing. I think that everyone has a right to select or pick an item, a flag, colors that represent them, and be able to be seen and feel that they can identify with something. And so if you want to fly a flag that also includes baby blue and black and brown and all the rainbows of the color, make sure that you fly it proud, because it is your right to do so, and it is your right to also feel represented in your community. And for those of you who decide to want to go with a more traditional flag, the flag that we've always known, that was the one that Gilbert Baker designed, If you mm-hmm. want to fly that flag, make sure that you understand that in doing so, you're representing yourself and you're seeing yourself represented, but there may be others that are not represented. And
right.
And just as long as you understand that, you know, there's a whole community of people that feel they're not represented, then mm-hmm. keep that in the back of your mind. People need right. to feel that they are being seen, they are being heard, and only then do they feel that they can make a difference in the right. community. And so it doesn't matter what flag you fly, as long as you fly it proud.
And if it's your freak flag, fly it. Hello.
Fly, baby.
You know, and there's so many, and they're so beautiful. But I wanted to go back very quickly because I know that mm-hmm. I don't want to keep you on the line too long. When do you release the show itself?
The show comes out on Thursdays.
So every Thursday, it's a weekly episode. Do you know what time it drops? Is it just Thursday?
Usually when I wake up around noon, it's dropped. So about somewhere around then. And it's on like all platforms that like Spotify and Apple Music and Stitcher. I think that's one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. So do you guys have a Facebook page? I would like for you to please let us know how they can first. Obviously, we know where they can find the podcast. It's a Mess. That's the name right. of the podcast. Are you on Facebook, mm-hmm. Instagram, all those good stuff? I want you to plug yourself.
Okay. Right now we have our only social media is Instagram, and it's a Mess Podcast. And follow us there. And you can shoot us an email from there if you have any questions that you want us to answer.
Fantastic. And if they wanted to just send an email, what's that email?
The email is askkazandpep@gmail.com.
Fantastic. All right. So, listen, I want to first of all take time to thank you for joining us on today's episode.
Thanks for having me.
I think that the work that you're doing is amazing. Thank you for being an avid representation of what it is to be gay, regardless of what you decide to do in life, and also mm-hmm. for starting the show, which I think is going to be amazing and help a lot of people.
Thank you. Thank you for your support.
We're going to do our best to make sure that and our listeners know that you exist. I'm going to continue to listen because you guys are amazing. And we encourage everyone to take a listen. Again, it's a Mess. It's available on all of the podcasting platforms. And Caswell, you have been fantastic. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks. We'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, we should. I would love definitely. That.
Next time, bring Pepper okay. with you too. We'll yeah. do a fiver.
Next
right?
time, we'll just come to New York. We'll all get together. It'll be
30. Okay.
Yeah.
If her schedule permits.
Busy be that one.
All right. Well, it was nice talking to you guys.
Likewise. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the amazing Caswell. Of course, as we know, he's a rapper, he's a songwriter, and one half of the show, It's a Mess, which he's doing with Peppermint. Check it out. It's available on iTunes. Now we have a little bit more show, and then we're going to close it out because we want to drink.
Let's just do this.
My baby wants to drink some more. It's her birthday. And so what do we want to do? We have one more story, or we want to keep going?
Absolutely not.
All right, so we're going to do Mama Kim's Minute.
Yep.
Timer, please.
All right.
I'm moving very slowly. Bear with me.
Big time bear with
bear. Him. Yeah.
Go.
Oh, sorry. So an 83-year-old Alabama man was arrested for sending threatening notes over Pride. Tu Wong Fu is now on Netflix and streaming. Tommy Tu Wong Fu. Hello.
Hello.
New Jersey mayor calls LGBTQ movement affront to the almighty God. He's an asshole. 4, Grindr and Romeo among gay dating apps leaking location data.
Whoops.
Transgender man Jordan Coffer killed in, I don't want to say that out loud. He was killed in the Dayton attack. Oh my God, that's so sad. I should have read that beforehand. 6, gay son of straight pride organizer is fighting to cancel the event.
Time?
43 seconds. That's awesome.
All right. 43 seconds. That's amazing. That very last story that you, or excuse me, not the very last one. The transgender man, Jordan Coffer, killed in Dayton attack, was actually the brother of the attacker.
That's really fucking sad.
And so, you know, initially they had made news that it was a sister.
His sister. Oh, really?
But the sister was transgender, was actually the brother. And furthermore, those friends who then rallied behind his death decided to honor him with his actual name rather than what police were using and people that were reporting, which was his dead name. And so that's important to know.
Absolutely.
So to the friends of this one individual who we sadly lost at the hands of his brother, thank you for honoring his life with the name that he chose and that he wanted to be, and because that's important.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Guess what time it
is? All right, it is time
for your gay talk term.
How stupid am I? Do you see this?
Yeah.
It ain't touchscreen, girl.
I am literally taking my finger and going on my MacBook Pro and trying to push up the lettering like if it's a freaking iPad.
No one cares. Sad. Anyway. So this week's gay talk term, of course, brought to you by GayRealEstate.com, is booty shot.
Booty shot.
Booty shot means snapshot of an attractive bottom.
Booty, 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 booty.
Everyone thinks I'm a Taurus, but I'm really taking snapshots. Hello?
Snapchat?
Everybody thinks I'm taking snapshots, but he's taking booty shots.
Hello, that's what... Snapshot.
Snapshots. So that's our gay talk term for today.
Booty shot.
Booty shot.
Booty shot.
Indeed. Booty, 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 booty. Remember that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Unicorn booty, booty, booty.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were talking about.
I missed it.
All righty. All right. Now it's time for another segment. Let's move it on because I'm falling asleep over here. On this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by...
GayRealEstate.com.
Trish got in for like half of that.
Yeah. Sorry, okay, I'm trying to write some shit.
Yeah, well, you know, focus a little bit. We're still on air. All right, so when August 12th, I mean, that date doesn't really, it's not that important. But August 12th,
amazing.
2004, in the state of New Jersey, the New Jersey governor came out and also resigned. His name was Jim McGreevy. He said at a press conference, quote, "My truth is that I am a gay American." In the speech, with his wife standing beside him, he announced that he'll be stepping down as governor because he had been having an affair with a male aide who held his role despite being unqualified. McGreevy's resignation date was not until November 15th of 2004, making him the first openly gay governor in the United States for those 9 weeks.
That's amazing.
So that's actually the first openly gay governor of the United States.
All right. So is it my turn?
Yes.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you love our show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which is a service that allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation, which we collect once a month. That donation can be in any denomination of a dollar or more, and we do appreciate it. Thank you.
Next week, we're going to be focusing on podcasts once again.
That's right.
We welcome Jack Tracy from the Community Podcast.
It's amazing. You know, our podcasting community is fantastic, and the fact that we collaborate with each other and help each other out is just a beautiful thing.
Agreed. Hello.
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 Sorry, I was looking up shit.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't been paying attention for the past 5 minutes.
Anyway, so thank you to Caswell for joining us tonight.
That's yes. Right.
It was a wonderful conversation, and amazing. We learned a lot about It's a Mess Podcast.
I love how woke he is. I love the fact that they're doing great things. It's a Mess Podcast. It's also available on iTunes and all this good stuff.
Check it out.
It'll be on our post.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it my turn?
No, it's my turn. I drove some 2,000 miles. Can we like this? Can we please put a fucking rubber on this episode?
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
This is me caring.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, and in-betweens and Charles. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Gay Talk. Oh, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0. Instagram,
like she's
Gay
drunk
Talk.
Or something.
Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
All right. And if you need to reach out to us, you can do so by visiting our website, clicking on the Contact Us tab at the top of the web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or an individual host. You can also call us and leave us questions via voice message. We can answer those for you on the show. That phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish. Bye.